Last weekend, we had Juan Marichal stop by, and they had the Juan Marichal statue giveaway on Sunday, so that was a big thrill. And then I started realizing, and people started emailing me, that today, August the 22nd, John Wilson, is the 50th anniversary of the incident between Juan Marichal and John Roseborough. And just to bring you back to those moments, a great pennant race between the Giants and the Dodgers, very heated afternoon, a Sunday afternoon at the park, and Koufax pitching and Marichal hitting and ball being thrown back and forth, and John Roseborough threw a ball back, the catcher, to Koufax and kind of ticked the ear of Marichal. And Marichal had words with Roseborough. The next thing you knew, Marichal had hit Roseborough with the bat. And a big fight ensued, and one of the ugliest incidents, really, in Giant Dodger history, in baseball history. Great pictures of it. And then they made up in later life, and Marichal, of course, became a Hall of Famer, and Roseborough and Marichal became good friends before the death of John Roseborough. But John Rosengren, and we had him on before, wrote a book. It's called The Fight of Their Lives, and how Juan Marichal and John Roseborough turned baseball's ugliest brawl into a story of forgiveness and redemption. And John Rosengren joins us today. The book is The Fight of Their Lives. If you didn't pick it up last year, you may want to take a look at it this year. John, nice to have you with us.
Well, good morning, Marty. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so I know, remembering back, there was a lot going on in the world at the time of this incident. And, of course, not only in the baseball world, but everything around it. Bring us up to date on what was going on around that time in history.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand this wasn't an isolated incident. It took place in the context of a very tumultuous time in the world history. And in 1965, that was the Summer of Fury here in the United States. But down in the Dominican Republic, there was a civil war that was being fought. And Marichal, a native Dominican, was literally worried sick about his family's safety back home as he watched these scenes unfold on television of the bloody battle being fought in the streets of Santo Domingo. He developed a sinus infection that nagged him the entire season, so he was on edge. And John Roseborough, a black man living in South Central L.A., had just watched the Watts riots the week before. And, you know, from Dodger Stadium, they could see the smoke from the buildings burning to the south, and he was on edge. One night, the demonstrators were scheduled to march down the street in front of his house, so he sat up all night on his front step with a loaded gun ready to protect his family if he needed to. So here are these two men that are personally affected by social upheaval and turmoil who meet up on the baseball field, and it didn't take much for the those tensions to erupt into this awful incident.
Baseball-wise, here are the two teams, and here we go again. I mean, it's August 22nd, 50 years later, Giants-Dodgers. We've got Bumgarner and Leak, and then on the other side you got Kershaw and Greinke. You've got Hunter Pence. You've got Puig. You've got all these personalities, and back then you had the same thing. They were in the midst of a pennant race as well. And this was an incident that all of a sudden erupted, and it had an effect on the pennant race as well as all of society just to see it.
Right. There's this tight pennant race that summer, as you said, and in the context of the Dodgers-Giants rivalry, which I think was even more intense 50 years ago because guys stayed with the same teams longer, and so they developed more of a loyalty to their team. The teams also played each other more often, you know, 22 times. And so Maury Wills said, you know, it was like war every time we played the Giants or when these two teams met. And so there's that heavy subcontext as well of this incident. And here the Dodgers come to Candlestick for a four-game series in late August. And there'd been bad blood earlier in the series. And it all came down to this Sunday marquee matchup with Marichal, the right arm of the best right-hander in baseball, and Sandy Koufax, left arm of God, pitching this great matchup on Sunday afternoon, August 22nd.
So what happened? What happened with the incident? Because the pictures are immortalized. They're iconic pictures of baseball brawls with the bat and the blood coming down Roseborough's face and Mays comforting him later in the dugout. And what happened there, and then what was the effect on the pennant race afterwards?
I'm sure many of your listeners can visualize that image of Marichal standing with the bat raised and Roseborough toppling. But there's so much more that happened prior to that moment. So Maury Wills started off the game by bunting, getting on. Ron Fairley doubled and knocked him in. And right away, Marshall's got a 1-0 lead. At the time, he's got a 1.78 ERA, and he's had 9 shutouts.
Koufax has the lead.
No. Sorry, he's down. Yeah, right.
He's down 1-0.
He's
okay.
Losing. He's already down 1-0, and he's not used to giving up runs. Here he is giving up a run in the first inning, and so he's seething, thinking that Wills has shown him up. So when Wills comes to bat again, he throws a pitch inside and that puts Wills in the dirt. When Fairley comes up, Marshall puts him in the dirt. So Koufax throws a pitch high over Willie Mays' head, kind of say, "You can't do that to our batters." Uh-huh. And Shea Crawford, the home plate umpire, says, "No more, guys, none of that. Another inside pitch, and I'm going to eject the pitcher." So Marshall scheduled to lead off the bottom of the third for the Giants, and Koufax says to Roseboro, "Okay, you want me to you plunk him?" And there's this kind of myth that Koufax didn't throw inside. He did. It's true he didn't want to throw at guys' heads because he knew he could kill him. But just earlier that season, he'd hit Lou Brock in the ribs after Brock had shown him up by stealing his way around the base path. So Roseboro doesn't want to lose their ace pitcher in a critical game that early in the game, in the third inning. So he says, "Let me take care of it." So he calls for an inside pitch, deliberately drops it, and then throws it back right past Marshall's head. And so close that Marshall said it actually nicked his ear. Mm-hmm. And I think about that for a minute. If you're the batter standing in the batter's box, the pitches come in, you know, you kind of breathe a sigh of relief. Okay, he didn't throw at me. You're maybe looking out at the mound. You've got your bat on the shoulder. And suddenly this ball comes whizzing by your head from 3 feet behind you. Roseboro already issued some threats against Marshall because of incidents that had occurred earlier in the series. And so Marshall, he's you know, startled. He's afraid. He's angry. He turns to confront Roseboro and sees the catcher in full gear, you know, full armor, advancing on him, ready, in Roseboro's words, to annihilate him. So Marshall takes a step back and brings his bat down on Roseboro's head in self-defense. And I don't want in any way excuse what Marshall did. Obviously, it's wrong to hit someone in the head with a bat. But I think it helps us understand why he acted as he did in that instant, you know, of just pure reaction, you know, emotion, impulse. And then that set off this 14-minute brawl.
Boy, great, John. You set it up beautifully. The book is The Fight of Their Lives. John Rosengren is with us now. These two fellas made up later on in life, and it's a big part of the book.
That's the extraordinary part of their story, I think. Had it just ended there at that day, you know, we would have thought, oh, here are these two guys who had this terrible fight. But it actually tarnished Marshall's reputation to the point where it kept him out of the Hall of Fame on the first 2 years of eligibility. So he called up Roseboro, who was working in a PR agency in L.A., and said, "Johnny, I need your help." And Roseboro agreed to go play in a golf tournament in the Dominican that Juan hosted. And it was a PR opportunity, you know, to have photographs, the two pose together, and telling the press, "Hey, we've put this in the past. You should, too. Marshall deserves to be in the Hall of Fame." But something else happened that week that Roseboro spent with Marshall's family down in the Dominican. These two guys realized they actually liked one another. They had more in common than they had realized, and they were able to make amends to each other. And I think Roseboro was ready to do that because he'd carried the guilt of letting Marshall take the blame for 17 years. And so he came clean about having provoked the incident with that throw. And Marshall got in the Hall of Fame, and one of the first calls he made was to Roseboro, and he said, "Johnny, I'm in. Thank you." And he broke down in tears. And so that was the beginning of this beautiful friendship between the two. It's, you know, and where they, what strikes me is here are these two guys who, you know, behaved rashly on a ball field, you know, in the heat of competition, but in their sober moments were able to turn that into occasion of reconciliation and become friends.
Wow, great book, The Fight of Their Lives. And I just think as you're talking, I'm just thinking, fast forward to 2015, how an incident like today, we would hope, would never play out. But if it did, how the participants would be an interesting confrontation. So I could just imagine today if it happened, and then we could put ourselves back 50 years for the intensity of that moment. John, you live in Minneapolis, the Minnesota Twins. I just talked about all the wild card teams. I guess it's like the old American League. Everybody's got a shot. Minnesota Twins going to make that wild card race?
You know, a month ago, before the All-Star break, it looked like they might, but I think they've kind of reached their equilibrium now. They were overachieving in May and June, which was fun as a fan. But I think now they're kind of they've settled into the 500 team that they are. So I wouldn't put any money on them to make the playoffs.
All right.
I'd love to see them do that.
Joe Mauer, a Hall of Famer in your opinion?
You know, that's a good question. Again, about 3-4 years ago, I would have said, yes, he's on the path. He's got 3 Silver Slugger awards. He's, I think, a fantastic catcher, a really valuable catcher. You know, one of those guys who is in the running for discussion for MVP award every year. But now he's really sunk in his production, both at the plate and in the field. He's playing first base, and he's a good athlete. But, you know, I think unless the guy plays another 7-8 years and puts up some big numbers, he's one of those bubble guys that could go either way, but I don't know that he's going to be able to make a strong case for his eligibility.
Boy, very good. John, a pleasure having you on as always. The book is The Fight of Their Lives. John, you explained it so well, and it's a good read. And, of course, 50 years ago today it happened, so quite an anniversary. John, thanks so much for being on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you, Marty. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, very good. John Rosengren. He's also written a book about Hank Greenberg, which I read, which is absolutely terrific. Hank Greenberg, the hero of heroes. And John has done a lot of work in Sports Illustrated, and he's a member of Sabre as well. All right.